Today's episode of The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks and Header HVAC, now together to serve you better, and proud sponsors of Ohio State Athletics.
There is nothing hypothetical about this one. It's the real deal.
Finally.
A Ryan Day press conference and the start of spring ball. Welcome to the most glorious Talking Tuesday with Adam King of all time. That is television's Adam King. Guess what? It's a three-man weave on this Talking Tuesday. That's Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. We're going to be at the Woody. This was your idea, by the way.
So this was my idea because I know Ohio State can't lose after this. Well, the last two times, all three of us were on the same show, they lost the following day. So,
you know, I hadn't really put that together.
Now. Oh, it was written into the email at theaustinandbermshow@gmail.com. If you want to get those questions in for Freaky Friday right now, please do. I bet it's going to be a strong camp vibe for that, for those questions. But it was suggested, maybe let Adam know. He needs to break that curse somehow because those were bold predictions that both led to Ohio State losses. They cannot lose the spring game.
Well, somebody's going to lose. But either way, we're all winners because football
is back. Ohio State's going to win.
That's right.
Well, welcome in. We are fired up. This is going to be an interesting, exciting, exhilarating spring camp. Adam, I think this is one of the most anticipated that I've covered. It sounds like hyperbole. I don't think that people believe me. They sound because I'm accused of being a curmudgeon and a press box snob.
Austin J. Ward is a press box snob. He's the guy that like complains about the food in press boxes.
I don't complain about that.
What's your middle name?
James.
Wow. You know, you think you know a guy and then you realize you don't know his middle name.
I don't even know
your first name. It's just Berm.
Now we can advance in all of our friendship with Cornelius King.
So, that's right.
I'm excited. I just want to start with that.
Okay. So I have never been this excited for spring ball. And I think you've nailed it because I think it's the perfect balance of new pieces, 51, by the way, in case you're counting.
51 pieces on the
side of the road. But also a good core of guys returning. It doesn't feel like you're walking into a spring ball like going, what is this going to look like? And it doesn't feel like you're walking into a spring ball going, well, we know who's here. We know how everyone's going to play. We know where they're going to play. Let's just jump ahead to fall camp.
Right.
I'm going to start because it is Talking Tuesday. And first of all, I've got to go back and listen to all these Talking Tuesdays because I had a lot of questions for Ryan Day. And now
I forgot them all
throughout the last 6 weeks. This is a real sidebar question, but maybe you two can answer it for me.
Well, we're not Ryan Day.
The Peyton Pierce train seems to have fully left the station. It's on the tracks, and it's not stopping anytime soon. It seems like he is the guy for Ohio State. I'm curious what has kind of given him that role, especially this offseason through winter workouts. I mean, we saw him shine in the Cotton Bowl. He made a huge play forcing the fumble in his home state. He's always been kind of a sure guy, but he's never been the guy. I don't know. What do you think makes it so solidified that he's going to get that spot?
Well, you have to remember that James Laurinaitis called him a starter last spring.
Yeah,
it's not a new thing. He just was a starter that wasn't playing as much as Sonny and Arvell because the defense doesn't always call for three linebackers. When it does, it was always Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been that guy. This is a guy who in high school, his nickname was Superman. Okay, like he's a much better athlete. I think, unfortunately, comparison being the thief of joy as it is, when you start to stack him up against 6'5", 245, Sonny Styles, and 6'5", 240, Arvell Reese, you look at Peyton and at 6'2", 227, and go, well, that guy's not a real – he's not as athletic as those guys. And he's a different type of athlete, but he's still a freaky – he's playing football at Ohio State.
That's true.
Okay? Like, he's not an unathletic sort. That said, I think it's just experience, and you enter an offseason here at Ohio State where you're replacing Sonny Styles, you're replacing Arvell Reese, you have Raleigh Pettijohn and TJ Alford, who are young guys, Garrett Stover, young guy, hasn't played, you bring in a guy like Christian Allegro, like he has to be the guy in the middle. If he's not, then that linebacker room is in a little bit of trouble heading into summer because the leap he has to take is necessary for the entire defense. And it's similar to what Jalen McClain has to do at safety, mm-hmm. because you're replacing not just two physical freaks in Caleb Downs and Sonny Styles, but you're replacing the unquestioned leaders and coaches on the field from the defense. And so I think when you're replacing eight starters on defense, that's a huge task regardless, but then you're replacing the guys who were directing everything. And when we've seen the elevation of Matt Patricia's defense from what we saw out of Jim Knowles' defense, it was that you had these veterans that could deploy everything. And that is a challenge. And I think that's where Peyton is better positioned than anybody else on this defense to be that guy.
So, Austin, you have never let me forget it. There is a sign, I think, when you wake up every morning that says, remind Adam about Cody Simon.
I was just going to say Peyton Pierce has a lot of Cody Simon to him. Mm-hmm. And does that... I think there was a period of time where people were skeptical of what Cody Simon could
do. Doesn't sound familiar.
I'm just saying people generally. I didn't point at anyone specifically.
Cody Simon, very good football player.
Like, even if that's the baseline.
I kind of want Cody to be in town sometime soon just so we can call out to him that you thought he stunk.
I didn't know that I thought he stunk. I thought he was going to be an MVP of the Rose Bowl.
Didn't you say he stunk?
And continue on, Austin.
If that's all, quote unquote, you get from Peyton Pierce, that's pretty darn good. You're looking for, I understand, we went down this road immediately where it's comparison to another player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think that there are a lot more skill sets that are similar in Peyton Pierce that remind me of Cody Simon. And if that's the level you get, which is leadership, not missing a tackle, always being assignment sound, communicating with the green dot on the helmet, if you check all of those boxes, Ohio State's defense is going to be just fine. It's super fun to have aliens, which, by the way, you said 6'4". Did Arvell not measure at 8 foot tall at the combine?
I just know, I mean, the reality is Superman was an alien.
That's true, from the planet Krypton.
That's honestly, when you say it like that, I'm excited. I just thought it was interesting because I don't know that when we walked off the field at the Cotton Bowl, I don't know that I said in my mind, it's certainly through this offseason.
Well, you weren't speaking out loud.
That's right. I could not speak at the Cotton Bowl, to be fair. I don't know that I said, like, okay, one linebacker spot, it is guaranteed to Peyton Pierce, and then everybody else is kind of competing because they're not going to change the defense. It's not like they're magically going to come out with three linebackers next year. So everybody's kind of balancing out for that second spot. And I think this is by far the most intriguing position on defense for me because – how does Allegro fit into this? How in the world does Riley Pettijohn fit into this? How does TJ Alford, that some think is pretty good, fit into this? I mean,
it's a little wrinkle as well with Riley Pettijohn not being able to practice in spring camp. So that then opens up other opportunities for Allegro, TJ Alford.
Let's be clear. That really sets back my team.
It does.
I was on Team Riley. You're on Team Alford. It's unfair, some would say, but you know.
Did you learn anything on Thursday night, by the way, that was informing your conversation about linebackers? Or
I learned that TJ Alford is a very good linebacker. I've known that. I've learned that maybe Adam's positions of judging, he's very good at a lot of judging of positions, but I should just shut up about linebackers.
I think what you do is you what you've done here, in fact, was you said that you're on Team Pettijohn and he's on Team Alford. That's just not true. And this is how people get these wild hairs up there. B-holes.
Oh.
When they start to say, well, you guys like this guy. Like, I'm rooting for all of them.
Well, yes. Yeah, of course. I'm just saying only one can be the starter.
No, but that's not true, though. There was three starters last year and only two guys started. Okay? So the reality is there's an opportunity for all of them to play a lot of minutes. And Christian Allegro, where he fits in, he might just be an edge rusher. We don't know if he can be an off-the-ball linebacker. These are things that we're trying to figure out, that James Laurinaitis is trying to figure out.
And that's why I'm so intrigued in spring practice. But yes, we are not rooting.
Watch those wild hairs.
So you wanted talking Tuesday. You want to talk to Ryan Day and say, Ryan, why is Peyton Pierce good?
No. But that's I want to know what, and I don't want it doesn't.
I think it's important that he does it though.
This is you. This is your first talking Tuesday. Okay.
Oh, it's definitely not.
That's right. It's your first talking Tuesday with me. I doesn't just have to be Ryan. Thank you very much. I could talk to whoever I want. Well, I could talk to you if I wanted. Okay.
On Tuesday, we're speaking to Ryan Day after the practice is over. And I think it is an instructive. I sound like I'm making fun of you, but I'm not. Uh-oh. There are a lot of people.
I feel like I'm back in elementary school.
There are a lot of people. There are a lot of people in the fan base who don't believe that Peyton Pierce should be given that opportunity right now or put into that role or penciled into it. So I think it is important for Ryan Day to stand up at the front of the room and say, well, this is why on a defense that's replacing eight starters, we actually do have a couple guys that we view as leaders already. So I think that there is value in it. Now, is it, hey, Brian, I didn't think that he was going to be good.
No,
he's good.
That's not. But so what you're saying is exactly what I want to hear. And I don't necessarily know it needs to be from Ryan. I think I want to hear it from James Laurinaitis. Some could say we've already heard it a couple times. In that,
interesting.
It's
off the record.
It's a very interesting, like, it almost, you nailed it.
Thanks.
Almost in a way to, like, explain to everyone what allows him to be so dominant. Like, when you say Superman, I think that's the aura that's missing from Peyton Pierce, sure. But he has it. And to be able to set that tone and for people to understand, much like the Cody Simon era, it took a while in the Cody Simon era for everybody to look around and be like, this guy's pretty good. This guy's legendary.
Not for everyone.
Well, that's
he
right.
ended up being a blocko.
Yes.
He's a fifth round draft pick. He started every game as a rookie in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's, and made
actually
a lot of plays.
That's actually pretty good. So, like, we just live in this world now. If you're not a top 10 pick, you're not good. And that's just not true.
I completely agree.
But what you get out of Peyton, and you got to remember, we can take this back to even his high school days. Like, James Laurinaitis was working at Notre Dame when Peyton Pierce was being recruited. And if James Laurinaitis worked at Notre Dame for another 2 weeks, mm-hmm. he probably would have been committed to Notre Dame. Instead, James took the job at Ohio State. Jim Knowles offered the next day before James was even officially hired at Ohio State. And then it was, he's my guy. Like, that's James Laurinaitis' guy. So when you start to see people who have the reputation that James Laurinaitis does, the legacy James Laurinaitis says, the accomplishments he does, you should be saying to yourself, that's a guy that James Laurinaitis likes. I have no ability to tell him he's wrong. Like, he knows way more about linebacker play than I could ever know about it. So if he likes him, I figure, and he trusts him, and he made him a starter a year ago, we should probably all just assume that he's in a position now to lead.
You know who else you can trust?
The Waterworks?
What a great question, because there is going to be a change on the rotation at linebacker, and the seasons change as well. Comfort, it does not change. Not when you have the Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing for maintenance, installation, repairs. You can visit them online at thewaterworks.com. The Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing are a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. So what else? What will you ask Ryan Day?
So this is we went down a rabbit hole there, which I enjoyed because I do think it's an interesting conversation. I think you have to start in these four. This is our first chance to talk to Ryan Day since the Cotton Bowl. And so I think you have to start with the actual question incorporating Arthur Smith here. It's the easy, not a softball question, but how much time is Ryan Day planning on it being in that room? And I wonder how much the Chip Kelly era helped shape what he's doing with Arthur Smith already. He has to know to an extent. I mean, Arthur Smith's been here for what, 2 months almost? It's coming up on that?
About a month and a half.
Yeah, whenever that snowstorm hit, that's how I know Arthur Smith.
Oh, that one snowstorm we got this winter.
Yeah, that one that was like,
well, we live
50,
in Ohio.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. You only got one. I got.
Yeah, you're up there in Toledo.
I'm in the Great White North.
Down here in Columbus, we got about 15 inches of snow, and then Arthur Smith said, all right, I'm in.
Yeah.
And so I wonder,
this is where I want to live.
Yeah. I wonder, since then, how much has Ryan kind of stepped back and already allowed Arthur Smith to take over that room? But then it's interesting because when Chip came in, it was almost the exact same setup. Brian Hartline was the play caller, co-play calling with Ryan Day, and now Hartline left it. Like, so he can almost completely draw on that. And I wonder through this timeline how much he has drawn on that. How much is Arthur Smith already getting in the minds of guys and saying, this is what I want to incorporate here? How is Arthur Smith adapting to the fact that he's showing up to be a run game coordinator and he doesn't have two starting running backs in spring? Like, what is this all going to look like? Let me ask both of you this, and I'll ask Ryan it as well.
I bet he'll actually be able to answer it.
Yeah. Do you think that Ryan can fully just step back on offense like he's always dreamed of?
No.
No?
I don't either. I don't think he's dreamt of that.
Well, like, to let the reins go to someone else.
But it's really not about giving up the reins so much as it is figuring out how to divide and conquer the reins, because Ryan Day's passing offense is not going anywhere.
No, it's going to be his passing offense. It'll be Arthur Smith's
running. It's Arthur Smith finding out how to meld with that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I think Ryan Day ideally would like to take a step back from all of these parts and be able to just be the CEO, but like, you still always kind of, what's the expression, that you rise to the level of your training, you default to your
training. It's a long walk for a short drink of water.
A long walk for a short drink of water.
That's what we say.
Ryan Day likes coaching football.
Yeah.
Like, so he didn't get into this business to be a fundraiser. He didn't get into this business to be the guy talking to billionaires. Like, he wants to coach football. So if there's a piece of his offense that he can still be fully invested in, I think that's what he wants to do. I think the interesting thing for me, and I'm going to piggyback off a little bit what you're saying here, what I want to ask Ryan Day on Talking Tuesday is, are we missing the mark by assuming that the offense is going to be just plug and play? Or is there more of a rebuild happening to the offense than maybe? Because, again, all of the discussion since the Miami game is that you're losing eight starters on defense, you're replacing all these first-round picks. On offense, it's, oh, you just have to replace Carnell at the end. Like, it's not really just that simple. Like, you don't just replace another top five wide receiver and then be like, oh, we're just going to plug and play. Like, there's a lot of moving parts, and you brought up the running backs. When you have no Bo Jackson, no Isaiah West this offseason, you have questions about even Jacoby Jackson and if he's ready to go full steam ahead. Like, you brought in all these players, Devin McEwen, Kyle Parker, Legend Bay. You've got Turbo Rogers now that you've seen him physically mature and be ready for the college game. Like, is this offense going to actually change? Because I think that there's a real world where we see much more of the 2018-style Ohio State offense in 2026.
The Dwayne Haskins offense?
I think that's possible. I think that the receivers, the guys you have, are much more like Terry McLaurin, Paris Campbell, Johnny Dixon, et cetera, than the freaks. I mean, yeah, you still have Jeremiah Smith out there, but, like, I think it's just going to look different. I think this is an offense that is going to look for ways to get rid of the ball quicker and let these guys do things. And the receiving group that Ohio State had last year and the last couple of years, it was we need the play to develop. We need these guys to get 15, 20 yards. I don't know that that has to be the case this year. And I think there's actually going to be more offensive realignment than maybe we're giving ourselves or wanting to talk ourselves into.
That's a good question. I think when you look at the personnel, it almost has to be because there is not another Carnell Tate on this roster. And the players that Ohio State brought in, which we can get to the Chris Henry Jr. part of it all later on, I'm going to be a little bit wait and see mode with that.
Did you not learn from the JJ thing?
I just think there's only one JJ. I'm not saying he's not going to play. That's not, or that he wouldn't even have a regular role in the rotation. Yeah. But,
well, he's not going to walk onto campus and be the best receiver on the team because Jeremiah Smith's on the team.
100%.
So, like, how much of a role is there?
Yeah, we can talk about that right now then. But I just feel like Devin McEwen and Kyle Parker were brought in with that sense of immediacy, and they play a different style. And I think it lends itself, because the comparison you made to 2018 or even in some respects 2019 is perfect to me. And if that means that they go back to the real Ryan Day passing offense, which is a lot of mesh concept, using some of the wide receivers behind the line of scrimmage, pop passes, jet sweeps, end arounds, you know, orbit, ghost motion, like all these other things that are
just
way above.
Just making up words.
Yeah, I'm just making it up. They're above my pay grade.
Merry-go-round.
Thinking of some of the ways that we've seen someone like KJ Hill or Paris Campbell, Austin Mack be used by this offense, where it's like, I think this is going to sound crazy. It's like, if you have Jeremiah Smith, Marvin Harrison, in some ways Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, these guys who are just quintessential NFL wide receivers, in college, if they're only running NFL routes, like, doesn't make a ton of sense. Doesn't make them as successful as they could be.
And there's another part to this, and we're going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
What's the other part? Who benefits the most from that style of offense for Ohio State?
Are you looking at number 10?
It has to be number 10,
yeah,
right?
I think you kind of – I'm leaning more towards – maybe it's a mesh of 2018, 2019, if you're going to see something in that regard with the passing game. 2018, you have to remember how limited Dwayne was with his legs.
Yeah, but I thought about 2019 first, but 2019 had the only 2,000-yard rusher in Ohio State history.
Are you limiting Bo Jackson Isaiah West?
I'm saying I would not anticipate having a running back that you can count on like J.K. Dobbins.
I would agree with that. I mean,
and you have Jeremiah Smith.
Okay, so then here, this kind of builds off that. The other thing, if you had to ask Arthur Smith, I know we're talking to Ryan Day, but at some point we're going to get to talk to Arthur Smith, and this kind of builds with Ryan Day. What are you most concerned with the offense, and how comfortable are you with this running back room? Because I think what you just said leans a lot where the wide receiver room, I think you're going to see a lot more of, you know, I'm surprised, but I think you're going to see a lot more of Kyle Parker than I would have expected early on in the season. And I know you think put Chris Henry out there and let him go, but I think it, you, now mind you, and you know this better than anybody, Byrne, it comes down to money. And sure, when you're paying a guy that much money, you got to put him on the field. Nobody's making that money to sit on the bench. But when you look at the running back room, there are people out there, and they yell and they scream it, and they're not wrong, that when Ohio State wins a national title, they have an elite running game. And when they don't have an elite running game, it only hurts the quarterback. It only hurts what they're trying to do, especially in a Ryan Day passing attack.
But I'd like to push back on that a little bit.
Okay.
It's not
when Ohio allowed.
It's not when Ohio State has an elite running game. It's when Ohio State has an elite running back.
Okay? They had two elite running backs.
And that is the difference. You can have all the scheme in the world. You can have all the structure.
You can
return all the
offensive linemen. But if somebody can't execute it.
If you don't have the advancement in, mm-hmm, in Bo Jackson and Isaiah West from year one to year two, then it doesn't matter. And that's why I think ultimately, especially what we saw in the Indiana game, the Miami game, you saw an offensive line that really, really struggled to hold up when it was required that the quarterback had time to throw. And I think if you can just cut that in half, cut the average time to throw in a third, then you change the entire offense. Because when Julian Sain's at his best, it's when he's a quick trigger, three-step drop, let it rip. And I think you can do that with this receiver group better than you could have last year.
And I think that's where you're leaning on, that going back to your point earlier when you put me on the spot, that's what allows Julian to be successful.
Yeah, but I think it also makes the offensive line better.
Well, but the one thing that I feel like is the reason that everything is so exciting for this offense right now is that the offensive line is not only going to have a better opportunity with the scheme, with just an extra year of Julian Sain, sure, but all of these guys meshing together is going to give the confidence of Julian Sain has already taken a step up. Now, I am, and I'll beat the drum, and Berm, maybe you don't agree, Austin. We've talked about it a few times, but I think you have to help the offensive line add some element. It doesn't necessarily mean running for 9 yards. It can mean as much as shifting in the pocket to keep a play alive. Mm-hmm. That's got to be an added element of this offense, whether you have an elite running back or not. Because when you also look, we've leaned on running backs. When you also look at national champion quarterbacks, they have had that ability to continue to make a play over the last 10 years in college football. And you create kind of a three-headed offense here. With these receivers, you get rid of the ball quick. Mm-hmm. If you go back to the base Ryan Day offense that worked very well with Garrett and Chris and Paris and McLaurin, with a running back that you feel confident in, that takes pressure off Sain, and then just the idea of, hey, if it does break down on the offensive line, let's work on the footwork. Let's work on making sure that you can slide in the pocket just a little bit, or maybe go get those extra 2 yards like he did against Michigan.
Yeah, but what we've seen at Ohio State in the Ryan Day era is if he doesn't feel extremely confident in the backup quarterback, he's going to be telling Julian Sain to keep your butt in the pocket.
I thought he let I'm, as you say, well, I'm going to push back.
Yes, built a little bit different.
But, Will 6'5", 245. It's a whole different world than.
Have you met Will Howard?
I just wanted to say, I just wanted to work Will Howard into the pocket. Yeah, I did. And I got Will, you walked right into my trap.
Did you at least ask Arthur Smith about working with Will Howard this year?
I asked more than one question.
I don't know what this episode of Talking Tuesday is all about. Are we just doing our biggest questions for the spring? Are we now just diving into the overall big picture of Ohio State football? Like, where are we going here?
We're at the end of the episode.
I just think that there are.
You want to start over?
Yeah. All right. We'll just rerun it. What is a fair expectation?
This was your idea.
It was not a normal talking.
This is another thing I'm thinking about. Like, what is because Jeremiah Smith ruined the way we view things for freshmen forever. What is a fair expectation for Chris Henry Jr.? Because, again, he doesn't have to come in and be wide receiver one because that exists. He may not even have to be two or three because Kyle Parker is there and Devin McEwen is there and Brandon Ennis is there. And you've got guys that you trust and count on. But he's 6'6" and 215 pounds and he runs a 4.45 and he can jump out of the gym. Like, what is a fair expectation? And how does Ohio State stop itself from going, well, JJ did this, so we can just let – like, I think it's – obviously you bring up the money. He's getting paid a lot of money. He's not being paid to sit the bench at Ohio State. So awesome. What's fair?
That's why I'm not talking about him in the same light as JJ. That's unfair. And I think to expect that he's going to start and catch 70 footballs, I'm not there. He has not practiced. Today is his first practice at Ohio State. Yeah. I know that the winter workout stuff turned a lot of heads and that Ohio State is more excited than they were even when they signed him in December. The way that he's worked and that there is no diva-ness quality from him at wide receiver, when that is certainly within reason given the price tag and, you know, his lineage and all those other things. Like, I know that there's reason to elevate the standard. I'm not going to do that. I'm not. You say that I should have learned my lesson, and then it's okay to do that because of JJ. Putting the JJ standard on Chris Hunter Jr. is unfair.
Well, time out. Why do we only have to lean on JJ?
But
we had Marvin, you have Garrett, you have Chris was a little different because he was more of a developmental, but you're looking at Jackson, Smith, and Jigba. He was kind of behind a couple guys. But why isn't it safe to say that at the bare minimum, like, I think what Marvin didn't necessarily have the opportunities his freshman year, but he made the impact. But what Marvin did in his sophomore season, I would not think is a crazy expectation for Chris Henry in his freshman year.
He should have won the Biletnikoff as a sophomore.
He was clearly the best receiver in the country as a sophomore.
Hold on.
What's happening?
Okay, what I'm saying is this.
You're telling me that I should stop being...
The end of his freshman season. Uh-huh. The end of Marvin's freshman year, he started to really come on.
Yeah.
No, because he had to.
My point.
Because they threw that. Jackson and Marvin had to play every snap in the Rose Bowl, and then they had 8,000 yards in that game.
That's understood.
So, like, what I'm saying is the expectations, he's a five-star, number one receiver in the country, all of the family roots, all the money, what JJ did, what Marv did. At some point, the expectations have to stop getting higher, right? Like,
that's why I'm saying, why not? Like, okay, I was going to go with Garrett first. I should have gone with Garrett first.
It took six or seven
games. Garrett's freshman season is a good comp for what you should expect from Chris Henry Jr.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
So the difference is this. At the end of Jeremiah Smith's first practice at Ohio State, the way people were talking about him was he's the best player on the team, right? Like, it wasn't like, oh, he's our wide receiver one.
Well, yeah, but I waited until after I saw him do it in a practice.
He's the best player on the team. It was, well, we got it. Okay, he's exactly what we thought. And, like,
we're going to protect him in the spring game. He doesn't need the reps. Yeah.
When Ryan Day, after the first practice, is like, well, he'll probably take it easy in the spring game. Like, you're like, oh, boy, that's different. I'm just curious from Chris's perspective, because of Devin McEwen, because of Brandon Ennis, because of Kyle Parker, because Cortez Hankton's a brand new wide receiver coach at Ohio State. Like, there is a path here where I think that Chris Henry doesn't need to be needed at all as a freshman. But then you're paying him a crap ton of money, so you better play him. So it's like this weird. I just wonder. This is one of those first times when a player is coming in like this NFL style of roster building for Ohio State. Like, I don't even count JJ in this conversation because this was an intentional push for Ohio State. The roster is going to look way different. Like, rookies don't really have to play as much because they're under contract, and these contracts that these kids are under is
when did this become the NFL?
It's completely made up, and like none of the contracts mean anything. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's a very, I want to know what Ryan's belief is as a fair expectation, because we aren't living in the world where 5 years ago we'd say, well, don't count on freshmen to do anything, because if they do, it's a bonus. Now it's like, if they don't, you wasted X amount of money and the guy can leave. And so what is fair, and how different does Ohio State have to approach young players like that now compared to what they did even 4 years ago?
Well, clearly I have set the standard as Biletnikoff or bust. So what I meant, but like,
you weren't even trying to.
No, what I was thinking is more so like the early sophomore season, late freshman season for Marvin, where you the thing you nailed real big that was big there for Marvin that I remember is that they didn't need Marvin to be amazing, but Marvin was amazing. So for Chris Henry, they don't need him to step up day one. They have some pieces that they can definitely use and I think will use. But when we're looking back, when this is December, I think it's going to be a world where you're saying, oh, yeah, that's why they pay Chris Henry Jr. that much.
I just think you are in a position now where you have to be much more intentional with the freshman like him. mm-hmm. as opposed to saying, well, let's just see how he develops because we've got these other guys. Like, I don't think you can do that anymore. I think you have to say, well, you are getting this opportunity.
Because you're making a lot of money.
If you don't do it, we'll adjust. But you're getting it earlier than probably you deserve to. And a lot of times when kids get that opportunity, they don't give it back. And so I just wonder what's fair, because
are we sure Jeremiah is going to play? Are we sure that he's a starter? I mean, nobody's earned anything in the Cortez-Hankton offense.
I feel pretty strongly that Jeremiah Smith will start.
I'm just confident that he will be starting as a...
Is that one of your questions?
That's me. Yeah, Ryan.
Lie detector, Ryan?
Ryan, we waited to talk to you for 6 months.
I know this has been a long episode of Talking Tuesday already. I have one final question for you all.
Mm-hmm.
For each of you, not all of you, because there's only two of us. What player are you, on a roster of 51 new cats, what guy are you most interested to see what he looks like on Tuesday?
I hope none of them look like cats.
We don't need any more cats. We need dogs.
Sorry.
You ever heard that?
I've heard that
coaching press conference? It's a great press. Go look it up. We're at 30 minutes. People have turned us off. Offense.
You asked for this.
Legend Bay. I did. And I offense, Legend Bay. Defense, and this is my real one, is Rusa. I want to see what this looks like with him and how he fits in and what this looks like at the end of spring. I'm very excited.
I am only allowed to pick one?
Just one on each side of the ball. Because we have Wednesday. We have stock reports. We got a lot of stuff we can talk about. Yeah. So
I'm going to be looking at where Christian Aliegro lines up, if we get to see some of that, if he's at the front of the line with that veteran prowess and experience coming over from Wisconsin. Very interested to see what that looks like. And Legend Bay, because I'm going to break some of my own rules, I feel like, with a true freshman, given the way that Ryan Day's talked about him.
He has no choice in the spring but to be that guy. Well. For me, it's Terry Moore. I want to see if he understands the defense at all. And again, Tuesday.
I bet he does. He went to Duke.
Tuesday is going to be very, very like rudimentary and basic. But I just want to see who's actually directing the secondary. And if Terry Moore is doing that on Tuesday, that is a really good sign. And offense, it's Sam Greer. I want to see what he looks like compared to everyone else.
It's a good. I picked him as my number one impact transfer. I know. It's crazy.
Where is he transferring to?
He's transferred from high school.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. Continue.
Sam Greer.
Boy, that was embarrassing.
Sam Greer, we are not going to talk.
You're not going to ask him back on the show.
Never again. That was my fault. I misheard what you said.
We're
Continue.
Not going to talk a lot about the freshman offensive lineman, but I think Greer, by the end of spring, is going to be in the two deep, and I think that's going to surprise people.
Who was your number one impact transfer?
I'm not. I'm moving on.
Wait, no. Who are you talking about?
That was unbelievable. You're never coming back on Tuesday. You've ruined my show.
Who were you talking about, though?
Who do you think I was talking about?
I don't know. I said Sam Greer.
I'll tell you when the podcast is over. I thought Sam Greer.
I'm trying to even think whose name sounds like Sam Greer.
Well.
Oh, yes. Pam Clear. I forgot. Forgot about Pam Clear.
Okay. We were at 33 minutes. I was thinking in my head about the time that it is in the afternoon, and I was like, huh. And then I heard like half of what you said, and then I was like, oh, yeah, that guy, I'm going to rely on him because I thought it was somebody different, but now I'm embarrassed.
So what you were admitting to is you weren't actually listening.
So we have to do – it's Talking Tuesday, but it's also Listening Tuesday. Yeah. I think you have to do both of those things to really have a great show, and we're going to keep working on that. I don't know how many more three-man weaves we're going to operate on the beat presented by the Waterworks, but maybe we just need to get some of these reps like all of the Buckeyes will start getting Tuesday morning.
I thought this was a good show.
I had a great time.
It was a lot of fun.
And I hope America did too. We're going to be at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. We're going to hear from Ryan Day. We'll have some snap judgments and some observations after practice number one of spring camp. That's Jeremy Birmingham and at Television's Adam King. I am Austin Ward. We'll talk to you later.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.